Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning. We ask that you be with Malcolm. Give him the wisdom and the words, Father. Give us the ears and the heart so that we may listen and love you and learn more about you in every day. We ask that these things that are spoken this morning, we can take outside and put it in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 How many of you have watched the series called The Chosen? A good number of you, right? If you haven't watched that, I really would encourage you to watch that. It's a little grainy. All kinds of technical problems.
We will overcome.
But we will overcome. So I would just encourage you really to watch that. It's
Angel hearts.
That was emphasis.
Emphasis, yes. It's the gospel. It's the story of Jesus. And the message today is going to be talking about the gospel. And I think it's going to be important for us to be sure that we understand it. Is everything okay?
I was going to shut it off. But
yeah?
Don't have to shut off.
Scary.
Yeah, we'll get started. Should I step someplace else? Or?
No, just don't be underneath the speaker. That's the problem.
Maybe I can move it.
Yeah, I can just move it back. There you go.
I'm also going to bring this over here. Everybody okay if I sit down?
No.
Help yourself.
I can't seem to stand too long without my back hurt, so I gotta stand up and sit down and stand up and sit down. So it's the way it is these days. It's good to be back doing what I think the Lord wants you to do. So the story of Christ we find in four different books of the Bible, specifically while he was on this earth until the time of his resurrection and ascension up into heaven. There's four books, and those four books are called the Gospels, right?
Yeah,
the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Mark and Luke and John. So the Gospel is really the story that describes the life of Jesus, our Messiah, right? And so I want to talk about the Gospel today, the essence of it, what it means to us, that is such an integral part of what we're to espouse to the world. Is that right? Everybody would agree with that. Anybody know what the word gospel means?
Good news.
Good news. I'm talking about the good news. It's described as the greatest story ever told. I don't know about you with books, and maybe you didn't like to read when you were younger, or you just didn't read a lot, but many people have read, and you have some like favorite stories, right? Stories that really connected with me outside of the Bible were the Chronicles of Narnia and some other the Space Trilogy by C.S. Lewis, really anything by C.S. Lewis.
Yeah.
And Another book I couldn't put down was Atlas Shrugged. Another one was, when I was a kid, was a story by Jack London called The Sea Wolf. I don't know if any of you are familiar with any of those stories. A Wrinkle in Time, Hatchet. These are all stories that I could not put, once I picked up the book, I couldn't put it down. And, you know, those stories are fables. They're made up. But we don't find that in the gospel of Jesus Christ that that's a made up story, do we? We understand there's some truth. There is reality. There is something that all of us in this life can be connected to. And with the very person of the Savior of the world. Now, the gospel has a number of different descriptions. It's called the gospel of Christ, probably more often than anything. The gospel of God. The gospel of salvation. The gospel of the kingdom. The gospel to the circumcision. The gospel to the uncircumcised. The eternal gospel. The gospel of peace. The gospel of grace. All of these words are descriptions that describe what this good news is all about. Those are all wonderful words, really. The gospel of the circumcision and uncircumcision was talking about that both groups of people, the chosen people that God had chosen to bring the law to, and to have the Messiah born into that nation of people. That was the circumcision. And then, but God didn't want the chosen people only just to be one group of people. He wanted all nations and tongues, all kinds of people, to be able to come into His family. Isn't that right? And this is what's really great about that part of the story of who Jesus is, God's eternal plan. Now, what I'm going to be talking about today are things that all of us are very familiar with. And I think it's important for us to realize that the more that we go over this story, the more that we're able to bring it to others in a more coherent kind of way. So we're going to talk about this for a little bit. I want to lead into what's going to I'm going to preach on next week, which is the other side of the story of this. There's two major parts of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of God. One is the person of the Messiah as the Lamb of God, as the Savior of the world. And there's a second part, and we'll be going through this next week, where He's called not the Lamb of God, but the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Yes? Same person. The story is about Jesus, right? The gospel, the good news, is about Jesus, and Jesus as Savior and Lamb of God, Jesus as King, and the Lion of the tribe of Judah. There's two very important pieces to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's very important. And we can't have just one or just the other. We have to understand this entire picture. You know, when you first pick up a book and you're unfamiliar with it and you start reading, that first chapter has to grab you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Otherwise, you're probably putting the book down, right? Mm-hmm. And the first chapter in the life of Christ, which really grabbed right a hold of us, was that we're sinners by nature, and we needed a Savior. Right? We're nothing outside of God doing something for us. Right? And so this first part, this first chapter of the greatest story ever told, deals in that regard, and it really grabbed yours and my attention. Every single person here is a born again believer. You have already know in whom you believed. Right? Now I'm going to read a scripture here out of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. It says this. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. For we have not followed cleverly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. This isn't some made-up story. This isn't cleverly put together. Peter says, we saw this man. We lived around him for 3.5 years. We saw what he did, the healings that he performed, the love that that poured out from him, the words of wisdom that came from God the Father to them. They saw his character. They saw a perfect person. They know in whom they believed. Amen. And this is the first part of the. This is the first part of the. It's chapter one of the greatest story ever told. And what's really interesting to me, I didn't write this down, but this story started really before the world began. Before Jesus ever lived on the earth, Jesus, as the Word of God, with the Father, part of the Trinity in heaven, decided, God knowing what was going to happen, he was going to make this great creation, and he saw that there was going to be a fall, the fall of man. And so before the foundation of the world, the scripture tells us, he was crucified. Why? What that means, God saw what was going to happen and had a plan before the very creation of the world. He knew it all. He was going to make a creation. He was going to make people free to make the choices that they wanted to make. He wanted free people. He didn't want robots. He didn't make us as robots. He made every person to be able to make a choice to love God or not. And you know, it's the kind of thing, and this is what I'll be talking about next week a little more. But you know, you love a person, but sometimes our choices, as the days go along, don't show that we really love them that as much as we should. You know, sometimes we're selfish in what we want you know, have a bad response to them. Doesn't show love, but we really love them, right? We all love God, but sometimes we don't show it, do we? But God loves us. Oh, I'm telling you, seeing the Chosen and seeing how Jesus reacts in these situations, lovingly, but firmly. And this is why you need both of these aspects of knowing what the gospel is all about. God accepts us for who we are, doesn't he?
Amen. Yes.
He looks past a lot of things about us and loves us anyway. And yet we also know that whom he loves, he disciplines. Yes?
Yes.
Like a father or mother that has to deal with a son or daughter, right? There's time you love your sons and daughters. But sometimes you have to deal with them. You have to, there's got to be some discipline, right? So, you're smiling. Are you thinking of something, Kelly?
I'm just thinking about disciplining Libby as a child. And it wasn't easy for me to want to do that.
Yeah.
But I know it's best for her. It's probably not too easy for God the Father to say, you've really got to be disciplined now. You deserve this.
He's very long-suffering, isn't he?
Yeah. But it's for the good.
The Lamb of God. The Lamb of God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So in Romans 15, verse 19, it says this, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. So here's Paul, and he's talking about all these different places, and he says that he's fully preached the gospel. It's important for us to realize that Paul not only preached the gospel every place that he went, right? Yes?
Yeah.
I think it also has a double meaning where he didn't just preach part of the gospel. He fully preached the gospel. You get that? He fully preached it. Whether it was the gospel of salvation, or the gospel of the kingdom, or the gospel of peace, or the gospel of grace, and all of those, it's all entwined together and makes a beautiful whole. It's full. Anybody years ago belong to Full Gospel Businessmen's Association, right? It was supposed to be the full gospel. The full gospel. Everything about it. Not one little piece. Yeah? But the whole thing. And Paul says that he fully preached the gospel in all those places that he went. And so, for us to have this wonderful, expanded understanding of what the gospel really is all about is so, so important for us. Because in the days that lie ahead here, we have to be a light in a dark world. And we don't want a little tiny flashlight when we need a spotlight, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important for us that we realize there's a real big picture of what the good news is all about that we need to have embraced. It's not a lot of work. You understand? Oh no, something else I gotta know? No, this is life. Knowing these things, having a deeper understanding of these things, actually bring an energy and a renewed kind of life inside of us. Do you feel that? Do you feel that way? I felt when Chris was bringing up what he needed to pray for, what he wanted to pray for, and I just felt that urge. Chris, needed that spiritual energy. He needed spiritual power to be imparted to him. And I felt that coming out of me when I was praying for him. And I also could sense that and feel that from all of you that were in the room that were lending that same kind of, God bless him. And we don't do it as some kind of, well, this is what Christians do. We get up and we lay hands. And people can look at it like that. No, there's something real in the realm of the spirit that's happening in the physical realm, from the spirit to the physical.
Yes.
And spirit.
Yes.
Of people.
Yes.
I don't know about you. There's lots of times I am tired when I walk into this room. And by the time we leave here, I'm energized.
Yes. Amen.
I go home and I fall asleep. But I am energized when I am around the people of God.
Amen.
There's an energy that is tangible.
Mm-hmm.
If we open our minds and hearts to that, there is an energy here.
Life-giving.
It's life-giving. And this is the person of the Messiah, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Being here, giving the story of his life, he was a giver. He gave.
Yes.
He healed. He did. He loved. He reprimanded. He did all those things, didn't he? For the sake of us. Amen?
Amen.
The one thing that I really got out of watching The Chosen was, you know, Jesus' life, when you look at all of these things that he did, and to see it being enacted, has much more power to it, really. And it was, I guess the word is gratitude. I felt so grateful that God's plan of salvation, the gospel of salvation, God's plan was to save us from ourselves.
Yes.
Because he wanted us to be with him. And again, that's everybody's choice. Isn't that something? The gospel of salvation. So let's just talk, we sang the words of what the essence of the gospel really is. What are things that you, what is good, what are the pieces of good news that you get out of the four gospels? Just, I mean, we sang them all, but let's.
Forgiveness.
God actually forgives us of our sins when we turn to him, and here's another word that goes with that, when we repent. Right? Yes? You know what I've found in life? I've repented over things, but then I've had to repent over things. Yeah?
Yes.
You repent about a particular attitude or casual way of not really connecting with people the way that you need to, and you see it about yourself. The Spirit touches you, and you start to change, and then you fall back into that same old pattern again. And even after you've repented. And, oh, I've got to repent again about this. I guess it's not fully taken care of yet. Right? And we've got to be careful as Christian people that we don't self-condemn ourselves, or when we see people Christians that are struggling through something, that we don't judge them in their process. Do you understand that? And it's a hard line, because God also wants us to talk to our brothers and sisters. But I want you to know that it never can be from a place of judgment. This is, I don't know if I can say it clearer than that. Do you understand? Jesus wants us to talk to one another if there's something ought between any of us, or you see a brother caught in a sin. Then through a lot of prayer, you can go and talk. You should go and talk to the person. Not talk about the person to somebody else, but go talk to the person, right? Go talk to that person. But that doesn't mean that when you see something maybe you don't like, you're going to, here's my chance to go nail that person with something that's wrong about them. No, it better be the way God, what we see, the way Jesus does it in this book, in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He has perfect timing. I wonder how many times he went up into the mountain to pray. He gets away from his disciples. I bet you he needed to get away from those disciples. Oh my gosh. You know? God, I wanted to wring Peter's neck today, but I didn't say anything because I didn't feel that you wanted me to confront him today. So I'm coming to you, Lord, and Lord, help me to know the words and the right time to confront him. And all he confronted Peter.
He did.
Get behind me, Satan. He said to Peter. Peter! Who was going to be one of the strong pillars of the first church. Right? So he would say it if he needed to. But he did it in the right time, in the right manner. And he did it. He did it because he was led to. Right? Yes?
Yeah.
These are all things that we have to understand. And it's all very clear in the gospel, isn't it? Amen. And this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the emphasis in the first chapter, so to speak, of the gospel is that God loves us. We're sinners. We turn to him. He died for our sins, was resurrected, and ascended into heaven. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a lot to be grateful for.
Yes. Amen.
Man, oh man. And like any book that you read, we tend to... When I read that first chapter, I know that the story's getting set up in that first chapter, right? Maybe the first two or three sometimes. But the story's getting set up. And, you know, you say, oh, okay, so this is the base of the story. This is where things are going to build off of. And I want to tell you that this gospel of salvation, Jesus as our Savior, Jesus as the Lamb of God, is the most perfect beginning of any story, especially the greatest story ever told, right? This story that isn't, that's not connived. This is truth. This is a true story, happened 2,000 years ago, and we get a chance to be part of it.
Amen.
Every single person in this room, huh? No matter what you think about yourself, you are part of the story now because you have accepted Christ as your Savior. That's the beginning of the story for us. There's more to the story. I'm gonna stay with the part of the gospel today that deals with Jesus as our Savior and being the Lamb of God, of course. All right, so let me just continue on here. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 says this: I marvel that you are soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto a different gospel. Oh, the gospel can get muddy. Galatians 1, verses 6 and 7. I marvel that you are soon removed. So he's talking to the people that lived in the northern part, central northern part of what's now Turkey, a place called Galatia. And so he's talking to the Galatians, and he's writing to them. And apparently, some people had gone through that were teaching a different gospel, another gospel, is what he's saying here. But it's really not another. It's not really another gospel. It's not the good news. There are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Wow. So it comes across as maybe the gospel. Yeah, this is why we've got to always be listening with careful spiritual ears. Because not everything that you're going to hear, especially on the internet, on TV, where people have all these newfangled ideas about what Jesus is all about and what the church is all about, is going to be the true gospel. You know, I've heard from a, quote, Christian preacher on the internet, Jesus is a Marxist. I've read books that say Jesus didn't really die on the cross, and that he married Mary Magdalene and had a family. Doesn't sound like the gospel to me. But there are people that get pulled away into a lot of deception. You know what the biggest part of that is? They don't know their Bible. They don't know what the truth is saying. It's just a casual reading or understanding of the greatest story ever told. It's too casual. And when we're not more than casual about this book, the most important book that has ever been written in the world, because it was penned by the mind of Christ through the hands of men. Isn't that right?
Yes.
How, is there any more important book in the whole world than this? And so we can't just be too casual about it. You and I can't just be relying on a preacher to give you all of the information you need to know. You understand that?
Yes.
You need to be in your Word, in the Word of God, in your own Bible, at home, searching things out. You know what happens a lot? If you're doing that, and you come into the service, there's a lot of times where you go, oh, I just read that. Oh, the Lord was was just speaking to me, you know, just last, or yeah, it was last week when Chuck was preaching. And prior to that, Dan brought up something that went directly with what Chuck was preaching, didn't it? Gee whiz. I'll bet you that Dan was reading his Bible last week. Or the other thing that happens, situations take place in your life. And you go running, instead of just reacting, you go running to the Word of God to make sense of things. Right?
Yes.
The connection has to be there. And it can't just be on a Sunday. Can it?
No.
The gospel is living. It's living with Christ, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's so, so important. It's not a knowledge thing where I can spout off, it's always good if you do, can spout off things off the top of your head. But that isn't where it is in book knowledge, in just knowing what Galatians chapter 1 verses 6 and 7 are. But what it does, what it is important is that you and I are making connection to God through His Word. We do it through prayer. We do it through worship. We do it through a casual conversation as we're going through the day with the Lord. You make contact with God. But one place we really better make sure that we're doing is reading this Bible. Otherwise, another gospel can come our way.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want that. Right?
Right.
Now, what?
No.
No, no, no. You mean it, right?
Yes.
Okay. Alright, here's another scripture that goes on along that same line. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Another translation that says, simplicity in devotion to Christ. For if someone comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we have preached, or if you've received another spirit, different than the spirit you've received from us, or another, here we go again, another gospel, different from the one that you have accepted, you put up with it easily. Ooh. Ooh. It's really important that all of us that are joined together here, that come together here on Sundays, but live our lives in many different communities and different kinds of life situations out beyond this church, that we are really established in knowing in whom we believe, and that we know what the gospel actually says. Amen?
Amen?
So, so important. So important. You know, there's... I gave you some of those outright lies. You can just... You'll get outright lies, and those are usually a little more easier to catch. But there's other things that can happen where it's just a little twist away from what's really true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a lot of that going on in this in the Christian world. You hear me in this?
Yes.
There's a lot of that. It's off. We need to be able to recognize it, don't we?
Yes.
We don't want another gospel.
No.
We want the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Who He is, what He's done. All of you believe here. Everybody in here believe in the Trinity.
Yes.
You believe that Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us. Right? Everybody believes that in here. See, we're all together on that.
Yes.
We know in whom we believe. We know that Jesus was more than, he was a man, but he was more than a man. Wasn't he?
Yes.
First Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, I'm going to read. This is the essence of the gospel of salvation right now. Okay? Jesus as Messiah, Savior of the world. Next week we're going to talk about Jesus as Messiah, as the King of the kingdom. Because those are the two major parts of the gospel. The gospel of salvation and the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of peace and the gospel of grace all fall into both of those two major categories. But moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. Amen?
Amen.
Our acceptance of the gospel is what brings us to salvation. We accept who Jesus is, what he's done, his sacrifice on the cross. Yes?
Yes.
We know that he conquered death, that he was resurrected from the grave and ascended into heaven. Did I finish this yet?
No.
Okay. What would you say? If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you've believed in vain. For I delivered unto you. All right. First of all, he says, first of all, this is what I told you. Right? He's talking about the gospel. He says, this is what I first told you. First of all, this is what I said. And, which I've also received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. This is the gospel of salvation, isn't it?
Yes.
We're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. That is the essence of the gospel of salvation, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Those are the things that we need to make sure that we understand and that we can tell people, right? Christ died for our sins. That involves a whole bunch of other avenues of thought that deal with how well do you just go up to a person and say you're a sinner and but Jesus died for your sin. Do you do it like that? No. There's a whole way the approach is going to be different for different kinds of people, isn't it?
Yes.
But hopefully. And especially as things are going to be going on in this world, we're going to be people that are going to step out there and share the gospel. Isn't that one of the things we're supposed to do?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So, alright. I'm going to go to this side. John 3:16, everybody knows that one. Anybody want to say it off the top of your head? Go ahead.
For God so loved the world.
Come on.
He gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believes in him shall not perish,
but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God so loved the world. This is the gospel of salvation. God loves you.
Amen.
He loves the whole world. That's a wonderful feeling. That's the chapter that I like to go back to a lot. isn't it? Let's go back to chapter 1 and let's talk about it. I get myself into chapter 2 and 3 and 4 a lot, but I like, it's important to go back to chapter 1, isn't it? And refresh ourselves with the gratitude of what Jesus did for us. Amen?
Malcolm.
Yes.
Verse 17 is just as important.
Yeah, go ahead, read it.
For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him.
Hallelujah.
We're not here to condemn anybody.
No, it's not about condemnation, is it? It's not. No. Jesus came to save. Did he come to condemn? So should the church be doing that? The church should be here to reach out in love to save the people who are still in darkness.
Right.
Not to condemn them, right? Because
right.
We were all there once.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Malcolm, the other thing that just keeps coming back to me over and over throughout what you're saying is if we don't know the word, the truth,
yeah,
in these end times, as false prophets are everywhere,
yes,
we are not going to know what is truth and what isn't if we don't know this.
No, that's very correct.
It's very simply put that we have to, you can't know something without studying it.
Yes.
You can't know something without being familiar with it.
I know there's people that either have a hard time reading, or they don't like to read, or whatever. Thank God that there's audiobooks now. You can listen to any book of the Bible auditorily, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'll add to that, Malcolm, because I never learned how to read.
Yeah.
Never learned how to spell. But I'll tell you, you've heard me read here, because God allows it.
Yeah.
He'll give it to me when I need it.
Right. Right. And there's God gives the grace. He gives the grace for you. And if this is something that you want, just like anything in life, if you want something, you'll put the effort in. You'll keep going. You'll do what you need to do, won't you? And you'll struggle and fall on your face, but you're not going to give up. This is important not to give up on, isn't it?
The most important.
Yeah.
Quite a while ago, Sarah Roy had given a sermon, and she was working at a bank, and the sermon was entitled Real Encounter. And they had gone over, well, how do you know when you have counterfeit money come through what is right, what is not?
Yeah.
She said, the more you handle the truth, what is good, you will know automatically what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The more that we handle and live in the truth, the lies will become self-evident for what they really are. But we have to handle the truth.
Yes.
We have to hang out with the truth. We have to let it be what washes our mind every day in every situation,
mm-hmm.
so that it's just obvious what is not right.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't do that, we are swayed back and forth all the time. Well, what if this is truth? Because, you know, Satan always comes in, error always comes in on the back of truth.
Yeah.
There's some truth, or else you'd reject it outright.
Right.
So he comes riding in on truth with a little bit of error to get us off.
Right. That famous illustration, rat poisoning, right? 99% of it is filler, and it's only 1% that is what kills the animal, right? That's in the thing. There has to be something there that's going to attract.
Right.
And this is how the enemy works. He finds something to attract people toward them. So it has to be some kind of thing for Christians, for us to get distracted or deceived. There's something about truth that has to be there. We go, oh, that's true. And then you bite the whole apple and you're caught, you know. Okay, all right, so I'm going to try to work to finishing this up today. So Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. You know, the way that we come into salvation, this gospel of salvation, is we hear a word. So a word has to be spoken, or a word has to be read, right? And then we either trust and believe it or we don't. And after that, when we accept what Jesus did on the cross, and we believe that he was resurrected from the dead because death couldn't hold him because of the pureness of his life. He was God incarnate. If you believe that and you trust that, then what the last part of this I'm going to get to in this gospel of salvation is that we get sealed with the Holy Spirit. So everybody that believes, okay, everybody that's born again gets that believes has the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit of God in you to lead you into God. Oh man, what a great plan! The greatest story ever told. And it's true. It's not a fable. It's not a cleverly devised fable. This is the truth coming from a loving God. So here's what Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 says. Talking about Jesus. In whom you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. All right? In whom also, after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, to make sure that we understand what Paul is saying to the Ephesians here, he goes through that you hear, you trust in, you believe. And when that has happened, you become born again. You become part of God's inheritance. You become part of God's family. And as a down payment from God to you, he gives you the Holy Spirit. You're sealed. You and I are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. Right? And that is a down payment. That's not the full... It's not the finality of what God's going to do. It's the down. Having the Holy Spirit is the down payment. How much do you usually need for a down payment? 10%? 20%? You mean there's 80% of something more that's coming? And you know what part of that is? And maybe a big part, maybe it's not even a big part, I don't know. It's the redemption of our purchased possession. You know what he's talking about? Our physical bodies. God is going to change our bodies.
Amen.
Unto the likeness of his glorified body.
Yes.
That's at least part of the picture here. And as I look around, nobody has that glorified body yet. So that means we're all expecting that at some point. That's part of the deal that God has provided in his plan. For all of you that believe in Jesus Christ, the plan of salvation for all of us He's given us His Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. But we're also going to get a body like His glorious body. I don't even, can't even imagine what that's going to be like. Wow. So, of course, we do know in Matthew 28:18-20 is the Great Commission. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Amen. And so, the rest of the story of this gospel message is going to come next week. Because there's more to the story. Isn't this great? It's like reading a book and it catches your attention and you go, oh man, I like the story. I like the characters in it. Of course, if you're in the story, you're going to be naturally interested, aren't you? Because it's about you and the things that affect you. So there's a natural kind of, wow, this, I like this story. And there's a good ending.
Yes.
Yeah. Right?
Yes.
There's a great ending here. But the Jesus as the Lamb of God, and what He's done and the greatness of what, of all that He did in His first time around. There's things that are going on right now in the realm of the Spirit to prepare the way for His second coming. There's things that are going on inside of all of us that deal with the gospel of the kingdom of God, even right now. And that's what we're going to talk about next week. So Lord, I thank you, Lord Jesus. We can't even ask or think all of the different things that you have planned for us, all of the things that you did that didn't even get into the four different Gospels. There wouldn't even have been room to write them all down, John tells us. So Lord, we are excited today to be living in the Gospel, in your story. You've now made us a part of that story. And Lord, we pray that that we would be worthy vessels, sanctified, set apart for the work of service, that we would not be afraid, that we would be bold to speak your message, to speak the greatest story that's ever been told. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.